is Sportsfeld. Beautiful times, beautiful weather. Not in New York. The Blue Jays not playing. It's a good day to do a podcast, actually, I was thinking earlier, because the Blue Jays have been rained out this fine Wednesday evening, and the Maple Leafs are fresh off back-to-back games. Both of them wins. So it is sort of like a night off. You could, if you wanted to, you could watch playoff basketball at your leisure. You could watch one of the many television shows or movies that are available to you at all times. But a good time to be able to pause and look back at the latest week of baseball and hockey and all the sports things we love and talk about them here on Sportsfeld. So I'm thrilled. Happy to be here.
It is. I would say it worked out well for us because this week's episode was in real danger of being irrelevant, like,
sure,
well before it came out.
We had somebody ask if we were going to do pre or post Manoah, and it was going to have to be a discussion. I mean, they canceled the game nice and early, so we sort of were able to know early, but there was a good chance we were going to get to like 5 or 6 o'clock here, and we would have had to have the conversation as to whether we should wait to see.
That's true. And now we didn't, and so we're here. And so I guess thank you to the rain in New York for postponing the game. And then we get afternoon baseball tomorrow, which, yes, as we all know, is better than not afternoon baseball.
And, you know, a week ago we recorded an episode, and I, in titling it and uploading it, called it The Blue Jays Are Actually Really Good. I think that's what last week we were very, very high. They had just come in. They had just beaten the Red Sox 8-0. And then they would lose every game the rest of the week after that episode came out, and then a few to start the next week. Swept by the Rays, lost 2 of 3 against the Red Sox. The bullpen sort of, listen, they survived a bunch of injuries. They're like 10 guys deep into their bullpen. You're looking at like Anthony Castro was like, he needs to come back and be the savior. It wasn't going to last forever. It just happened to happen in especially heartbreaking ways, because they were playing against the Rays, and that is a great way to completely waste your holiday weekend.
It was, I tweeted the other day, obviously, that wasn't the worst week in Blue Jays history, because like the last entirety of the franchise exists, but it sure wasn't fun. But no, I also don't think it was that bad.
It wasn't that bad. I'm with you. I think, I really do think, like, as great as the start of the season was, not even the start of the season, that little run they had just gone on where they went up, I think they were 6 games over .500 when we last recorded. As fun as that was, you had to know, like, they were sort of getting by with some, turning basically quadruple A pitchers into lights out relievers. You know, I think David Phelps, who is now out for the year, had an ERA under 1. Joel Payamps was coming in a ton and was like really hot. And Tim Mayza was like a reclamation project that, you know, was going a while without giving up runs. And they were sort of continuing to hit these lucky sort of pickups. You knew that wasn't going to last forever. I was under no assertions that they were going to have a 12-man bullpen and it'd be the best pitching staff in the league.
Here's the other thing about it. There's still, it's May 26th. There's still only 4.5 games out of first place in the East. And in that little 6-game skid, they scored 30 runs.
Crazy.
So, yeah, it was super frustrating. I also thought that they kind of got babbipped to shit in a lot of those games. A lot of, like, especially on, like, the final Rays game, a lot of hard-hit balls that just went right at guys. Had a couple of that on Friday night in extras as well. I think it was Cavan who had one. We just, like, hit it right to the guy that would have won the game. So, like, I understand the Blue Jay fan frustration from whatever it was, Wednesday to Monday. Because, like, it wasn't fun, and it was frustrating, and it sucked. But also, like, to your point, it proved a lot of things that we thought to be true. And also, they scored 30 runs, and, like, they're only 4.5 out, 3.5 if you want to talk wild card, which again, it's May, so it's crazy to talk either of those regardless. And I'm not too concerned about it, because last week we were sitting here excuse me, talking about how good the team was And we were talking about how they had the hardest schedule in the league, it came out. Well, the teams they just lost 6-2 are two teams ahead of them in the standings again. And so now, you after this Yankees series, you get some Cleveland, you get some Marlins, you get some... I guess it's... No, it's still tough for a while. But then you hit, like, if they can survive the next month, then you get your Orioles, you get your Marlins, you get your Mariners, you get your Orioles again, you get your Rangers, you get your Mets, you get your Royals, you get your Clevelands again. Like, there's... I don't see any reason why the losing streak this week should be treated as a sky is falling situation, I guess is my point.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think most people generally didn't lean that way, but there was a little bit of urgency to act on the rotation as the, you know, the bullpen sort of faltered in the last week. Those games where you don't have a starting pitcher, where, you know, Ross Stripling gave them seven, but when he was scheduled to start, there wasn't a ton of confidence. You know, there's a slot, Anthony Kay's slot in the rotation. You don't have a ton of confidence that you're going to get a ton of innings out of. So you're basically penciling in two of your five. That's giving a lot of credit to Matt. You're basically putting in two of your five as, you know, bullpen-ish days. And then as the bullpen breaks down, those days become even more troublesome because you're using a lot of bullpen on your, you know, non-bullpen days. So, yeah, that was going to happen. And I think to your point as well, the offense continues to be really, really inspiring and just like an absolute delight every single game. We should take our requisite minutes, as we do every week, to mention Vladimir Guerrero Jr. He's the best hitter in baseball.
It's unbelievable.
It's not even a hot streak.
It's like... It's expected now. Like, on Monday, his second home run to tie the game, it wasn't a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, of course he's up with down two with a man on base. Of course he's going to hit a home run. It's the best. It rules. I love every single thing about watching Vlad. And I will also point out, I was thinking this the other day, watching him, Vlad is also turning into a, like, offense aside, he's turning into a more than half decent first baseman, I would say.
Complete ball player is the words you wanted to say.
Yes, I believe it is. Him and Teoscar, the only true ball players on the team.
Well, I mean, Teoscar is the purveyor of vibes.
That's true. And he's the purveyor of five tools, that is.
Pretty good.
Thank you. Pretty good.
As I mentioned, sort of that bullpen, that pitching, those conversations, they did necessitate a little bit of urgency, and that is in what we thought we were getting tonight, that we are going to get tomorrow afternoon, probably around the time some people listen to this, or maybe they listen to this after. But Alek Manoah has gotten the call. I'm taking the fake credit for having broken this, because I looked at the CBS sports schedule and he was already the scheduled pitcher for Wednesday, even though he hadn't been announced it anywhere. Interesting. Manoah is a, you know, similar to the conversations we had about Nate Pearson 2 years ago, where, you know, not a lot of time in the minor leagues, just sort of because of when he was drafted and the fact that there wasn't a minor leagues last year. I think only 30-some minor league innings, even less of those at AAA, of course. But is sort of out of things to prove pitching against AAA hitters. So he is thrust into this rotation. It's obviously exciting to ever have somebody who is a prospect, ever have somebody you haven't seen before, to have that mystery, you know, sort of that chance to enjoy that. Are you hyped about Big Fella season, getting to see Alek Manoah tomorrow afternoon?
Of course. I think that you're exactly right in that there is... I know it's only, whatever, two or three starts or whatever it was in... Are they still called Buffalo this year? What are they...
It's a great question.
Whatever they're referred to as this year. AAA. But there's no... Clearly, there's no reason for him to be there.
Yes. Like 18 innings, three starts, 0.5 ERA, to be exact. It's one earned run, a solo home run.
We were talking about this last week or the week before regarding Big Nate. And who I still think should be called up as well, but for the exact same reason. I don't see any purpose in a guy like Manoah being in AAA if he's that dominant in AAA, honestly, I don't think there's a point. If you're a win now team, bring him up to the club. And if he's, you know, you're not comfortable with him going 5-6, then like there's no, after watching the, what was it, the Trent Thornton opener the other day?
Right.
There is no argument to be made that that is a better option than whatever Alec Manoa gives you. That is probably better than every seemingly 3 days having to throw a bullpen game.
The Trent Thornton open that somehow led into seven scoreless innings from Ross Stripling, who continues to... Ross Stripling always knows exactly when he is on the verge of losing his spot. Doesn't it seem like whenever it's like, okay, one more run and then Ross Stripling's out of his rotation, like he will throw three scoreless innings. Like it's really quite admirable. Listen, this is why you have these guys. And to your point, I mean, like I said, it's a total of, it's going to seem wrong, but it's true. A total of 35 professional innings between in Vancouver in 2019 and Buffalo, quote unquote, in 2021, 23 years old though. And the fun stuff, 6'6", 260 pounds. That is a
big lad.
That's big fella season. The 11th overall pick in 2019. So really, that's the other thing is like, when could he have pitched in the minor leagues? You drafted midway through 2019. You could only get to that team for six appearances at the end of that year because they only play half season ball. Then there is no minor leagues last year for you to play in double A and show off that. But you show enough in that time at the alternate site to get invited to triple A to start the year, and you completely dominate. You give up a solo home run and strike out 27 guys in 18 innings. There's really not a lot else you can do. It is sort of cool. It's going to be low key, hopefully. This is a hope. The fact that it's a doubleheader means it's only a seven inning game. So the fact that they are going with Ray and Manoa could actually work out in their favor because Robbie Ray is the king of six innings of work. The guy, after the six, for some reason, it just doesn't work out. But Robbie Ray is your second half of that. So that's in terms of the two guys, if you're unable to get Ryu in one of your two games against the Yankees, I think right now, Ray Manoa is the duo you would pick.
Yeah, and like the thing about a guy like Manoa, and I guess you could have made the same argument for Pearson, it just didn't go this way, is like, it's the what if, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what if he comes out and owns the Yankees? We were sort of talking about this pre-Pearson's first start, whereas like, if he comes in and is great, that shores up a huge problem with the team.
Yes.
And I don't think it's fair to expect. I think it was more fair to expect Pearson to come in and be great than it is fair to expect Manoa to come in and be great. But again, if he does, suddenly we're not talking about this patchwork rotation anymore.
Right.
So I think it's worth the risk. And I also don't really think it is a risk because I think leaving him in AAA is pointless to begin with.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, he's not doing anything down there. You're absolutely right. And, you know, to the Pearson point as well, you are hoping to get to a point where you're, if you do have to add pitching or you're looking to add pitching around the deadline, you only have to add one, right? Is sort of your goal. Cause you can look at it as a five deep thing. If you're able to count on Pearson, where you're going Ryu, Pearson, Ray, Manoa, and Mats. And that allows you that flexibility to add, if you want to add top end, if you want to add somebody that competes with Mats and Pearson to make sure that they're earning that for the spot, they can be in a good spot here if Manoa especially is able to provide plus value. Because I think they're pretty convinced that Pearson's going to be a part of this. They started the season
seem to be
convinced of that. And I even think sending him down is sort of further evidence of that, that they really do believe that he is going to be a part of this and want to make sure that he doesn't have as few hiccups along the way as he possibly can, because it seems like he's having just trouble getting started and getting off the schneid here. So maybe Manoa lessens that pressure a little bit.
Yeah, I just don't see why Pearson's like put in the pen or something. I don't know. I know they want to stretch him out and show that. I get it, but I don't know.
It's interesting that what he's doing right now is not happening the major league level. It is strange.
Yes.
Boy, oh boy. Which Melissa says I say too much on this show. and for the record, Pearson in two starts, 2.7 ERA in 6 2/3 innings, 12 strikeouts, and just 2 walks in AAA. 2 earned runs in 2 starts. But I think he's throwing too many pitches. I can't remember. Anyway. Geez, what else? What else with this Blue Jays team?
I have a Blue Jays question for you.
Please, yes,
I want to get question. I want to get your take on something, because this was in the midst of the losing streak. There was a hot button issue on Blue Jays Twitter that I'm not sure where I fall on it yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious to know what you think. What do you think, considering taking into account? Accepting the notion that the Blue Jays are in win now mode. So not accepting that they're still in a building mode. What are your thoughts on Charlie Montoyo?
Ooh, he took it pretty rough this week. And listen, there's always going to be the obvious things. There's the two out bunts, probably the two strike bunts, which is like
schoolyard stuff.
It's hard to believe that you're seeing it actually happen, and seeing it happen repeatedly is just like, this is wild to me.
When he did it on Friday, I think in extras,
yeah,
maybe against the Rays, that was unbelievable. You have a man on second, just swing the bat.
And there's also stuff like the game that they lost in extras. They lose, giving up a grand slam to the Rays. And Vladdy gets a two-run shot in the bottom half of the inning. In that extra frame of those 4 runs in the grand slam, 2 of them were intentional walks. It's a little bit of outsmarting yourself, trying to play for 0 runs instead of trying to play for 1 run in that extra frame. And he also took it a little bit with some of the bullpen managing, because you know they had managed before that to have their bullpen be lights out, and then this week we had Chatwood sort of melt down in the ninth a little bit, and then they bring in, I want to say,
Delise had a bad one.
I think the one they brought in Mesa.
Oh, so it was someone before Mesa, and he walked in 2 runs, then Mesa got lit up.
Yeah,
or something like that.
It's there's been some foibles. Listen, I think we know his limitations pretty solidly. I don't. It is the old thing. Is he the guy for whatever right now was 2 years ago, and then you, to push yourself over the edge, you have to upgrade. I think that's possible. I really do think that's possible, and I think it might be something that they look at internally. I don't think the team is fed up with him. I don't think he's doing much wrong, but I'm certainly not, like, I don't have any things that Charlie is doing that I'm pointing to and I'm like super pumped about. It's sort of even stuff like, you know, you want to get even further to the Thornton opener, where they used Stripling, still went through the lineup 3 times with Stripling. Like, it wasn't like the opener was to avoid the top part of the lineup, because he ended up facing the top of the lineup 3 times. Some of the pinch hits, you don't know who's unavailable, but there's really weird pinch hitting things. Like when Rowdy hit that triple the other day, he didn't pinch hit in the inning before when there were runners on, and it's like he hits a leadoff triple, does come around to score on the Vladdy home run, but it's just sort of like really strange that that's sort of the choices. So a lot of it seems to be maybe outsmarting itself. The stuff like the bunting is obvious. It's smack dab in the face, and again, it's one of those things where sometimes you don't know what the usage is and you don't know who's available, but boy, the bullpen, there was some ugliness. I can't blame him when Chatwood can't find the zone suddenly again. But the way he organizes it, and the pinch hitting especially, has been something I've been like, ugh, this has been wrong the whole time. But to another point I was going to make, the back end of this lineup is doing that thing again where you're watching for a whole week and you're like, damn, I'm seeing Espinal and Jonathan Davis an awful lot all of a sudden. When you combine that with getting absolutely nothing out of the catchers, It's tough. It's Biggio, for all of his faults. The only thing worse is not having him in the lineup.
Him going down, surprisingly, big effect on this team.
Yeah, well, I think you get in the reality of Espinal. I think is something that
right
you're seeing. Just
he was a confident third baseman, so everyone was like, "Oh, it's amazing."
Yeah, and in limited appearances, if he gets one hit a week, you're like, he seems like he gets a hit every time he's up. But like when you see him every day, you're like, oh, he's overmatched for like 80% of his plate appearances.
I have another Charlie question for you.
Let's run a quick thing and then we'll tackle it on the other side.
Okay.
All right, Jake, you had a Charlie question for me. Lay it on me.
So I agree with all of your previous Charlie points, the last segment. Now I have more of like a, let's call it a Jays talk.
Oh, now we're talking.
Charlie question for you. Seen a lot of comments about how Charlie's post-game pressers after big losses.
Oh, those, yeah.
And this has been the case for a couple years now. But I feel like now that they're in sort of competitive mode, it's a little more glaring. Where like they lose three in a row to the Rays in terrible fashion. And his presser is like, well, you know, I'm just glad that we were out there and competing, and I'm really proud of us for just like sticking with it kind of thing. And I'm not hugely bothered by this because like I think being bothered by the tenor of a post-game presser is kind of stupid. But I also understand why people would be bothered by this. And I also understand how you could make the argument that that attitude top down isn't what you want to see. So I'm curious what you think about it.
On the surface, it's extremely annoying. It's extremely annoying when they when they lose to the Rays and they lose to the Red Sox, and you know, it's obviously too early for standing stuff, but you know that you for many reasons you need to win as many of those games against those two teams especially as you possibly can. It's just like it's important in the scheme of winning the division. You play so many games in the division that it's important to win those games when you get the chance. And they had a chance to win all six games. They were in all six games. It's extremely annoying to hear him be like, a lot of teams in this league would have quit down 5-0.
Right. That's the words. Yeah.
Which teams? Who are the many teams that are quitting in the Major League Baseball? And that aside, you know, I also try to balance that with like Charlie's natural move in every press conference. As you said, is going to be to say nothing, number one. Ideally, he says nothing. Number two, in his mind, he says something that is just like calms everything down and doesn't make a big deal out of anything. And I think part of it is we're just sort of looking for somebody to sort of like tell it like it is a little bit more. Like that was something that Gibby was great at, where he would just sort of like, yeah, it's sucked to lose to the Rays. Like, that was a tough one. It sucks. Like, it's shitty. Something I've noticed happening is the Josh Donaldson "Get It Done" League quote continues to get retweeted into my time. I'm not sure if you're seeing this, but like every couple times a week, someone will retweet the Josh Donaldson "Get It Done" League quote. And listen, we finally talked about 2015 Blue Jays again, but that was an attitude shift.
Almost made half an hour.
Yeah, in 25 minutes. That was an attitude shift that we noticed in the team. Remember that? You saw it.
Right. This is kind of where I'm getting at with this.
Yeah, I think it's not. Listen, it's Jays talkie for sure, but the team is very much vibes. They're a good team, and they have a lot of fun. I don't think any of them on the team were satisfied with competing in those games and not winning because they seemed extremely happy to win against the Yankees on Tuesday.
And I also thought that I found it surprising, welcomingly surprising. Vlad's sort of fuck you attitude after his tying home run on Monday. And I don't know how much of that was just frustration of the last few games or if it was frustration with the fans in Dunedin not cheering for the Jays or all of the above. But I thought it was a welcome sight of not just vibes, I guess.
Yeah. And listen, that sucks a lot that they have to play the Rays in Dunedin and the Rays get treated like the home team better than they do in their own home stadium. Like that sucks.
Yes.
Hopefully it's a little bit better in Buffalo, and hopefully if they are not playing in Toronto, we are at least have a situation where vaccinated Canadians can go and cheer, because I think that'll be really cool. But yeah, no, absolutely. And I think, you know, I think if we want to even paint it forward, our favorite comparison is the 2015 team. You also have to remember what happens in 2016, right? When people are like, I'm sick of these bat flipping, like shit talking guys. And they started to get in fights. And we remember the Seattle series with like that intensity. Once you make that statement, right? Once you are considered a team that is not to be fucked around with, teams are going to like test that on you. And especially if when you're a young team like they are and you're a vibey team like they are, you will go from the most fun team in baseball to the most hated team in baseball. It happens to every team that is good. It happened to the Red Sox did it. It happened to the Astros. Obviously they cheated as well, but before that, people were like, I'm sick of the Astros. It happened to the Golden State Warriors. Like it happens, the Giants, you name it. It happens very quickly, right? As you go from everybody's favorite story in baseball to like, man, I'm sick of these guys. I hate seeing this. So that, not so much playing the villain, but like understanding that it's going to be, not everyone loves watching Vladimir Guerrero Jr. absolutely destroy their pitching staff.
right.
That's going to be part of it. And we'll see if that attitude continues to come out, because yeah, you're absolutely right that you're starting to see it and hear it, that like it does clash a little bit with the Charlie what you mm-hmm. expect. I hope they get there, because that's the most fun. My team is having fun, and it's also like, by the way,
yeah, like I don't want to sound too Jays talk, you'd be like, vibes are great, but at a certain point you gotta turn into Vlad screaming around the bases on Monday.
We still haven't really had the George Springer honeymoon. That's also the crazy thing. We still have, yeah, like,
great point.
There's a month of honeymoon coming. Hopefully, we had one crazy weekend, and it was so.
It was amazing.
Crazy fun. I hope George Springer is real. I hope this is actually happening, because I don't know what's going on here.
The messaging is not great. He's
traveling
with the team, but he's not going to play because he's not even close. But also, he needs a rehab stint.
Right. Him traveling with the team is actually bad news. Right. I was doing Blue Monday on Sunday night, or part of my Monday afternoon because of the holiday. And I sort of realized as I was reading it that like him traveling with the team is actually bad news, because it means he's right, not.
It delays the rehab stint.
Goodness gracious.
It's also like sort of what we were talking about earlier with Manoa, and like if he's good, how that solves a huge chunk of the question mark of the rotation. We're talking about literally George Springer. We're not talking about a potential prospect guy. Like if he comes back, the lineup is done. Like, yes, there's things to add and things I would like them to add, but more or less, I'm not upset if like the September batting order is what we have right now with Cavan and Springer slotted in.
Right.
Like, that's fine to me. That's very good.
A fun exercise I've been trying to remind myself to do regularly this year, at least for the first little bit. They are 24 and 23. Last year, they would have been 2 weeks away from the season being over.
Right. Great point. Great point.
Isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy? You'd be looking at this. If this was 2020, you'd be like, "Oh man, Vlad's gonna literally win the MVP next week." If he has one more good week, like Vlad's the MVP of the. To be fair,
he might win the MVP this year.
He may, absolutely, but it's just sort of funny. Is that difference? What a weird year that was last year, where like the season's basically over, and the guys have written their stories. Springer's not out of here.
In retrospect, last year's season, and I'm sure this is different for like the Dodgers fans and the Rays fan, but it feels like last year was just like extended spring training.
Sure.
Almost. Like it just doesn't, to your point, it's just like this weird aberration that happened, and I can't, like, they lost in the, let's call it the wild card game, even though there are two of them. And like, can you imagine not being upset if this Blue Jays team lost in the wild card game?
Wild.
Like we'd be devastated, and it's like, Danny Jansen got hit a couple of runs. It's fun. Like, who gives a shit? It's very weird.
Yeah, that's right. Danny Jansen was really good in those games. Yeah, it is strange. It is strange. Boy, I did have that thought last game. As much as lineup would be set, I wouldn't mind one more guy on the bench where you're just like, they could have a guy that come off the bench that can hit even a little
Chris
bit.
Bryant.
Yeah, not so crazy. I'm excited. Anyway, excited to see Manoah tomorrow. And I think, you know, I think once we get past the Manoah thing, we might get Pearson faster than we think.
I hope so.
Like, we might be looking at Pearson early June. By the way, June is next week, Jake.
Yeah, I realized that this morning, and I don't care for it. I mean, like, it's great because the further we get into summer, the closer we are to things being better. But time keeps on slipping. Slipping.
You said it. Also happening, and we talked about this, and listen, I didn't expect it to be half an hour into the show, but we talked last week about Leafs Canadians and what it would take, and you astutely, somebody mentioned to me this week how much you called exactly what would happen. You said that you would be pretty calm and collected, and then a hit or something would happen 6 minutes into the game that would completely change the tenor of everything. John Tavares.
Not the way I expected it. I will say that.
Johnny T. Listen, Corey Perry is literally, here's the thing, right? Is people will think that this is me saying it's a dirty play, and whether it was or not is irrelevant. The fact is, Corey Perry is like sewage water of a person. And that's independent of what may have happened in this series.
100%.
I didn't need a reason to not like Corey Perry, but he clips Tavares in the head with a knee. Horrifying scenes.
One of the worst in-game live injuries I've ever seen.
I can't remember seeing something so like
even I don't want to discredit these other injuries. They're horrific in their own right, but even the like the Sean Livingston or that kid in March Madness whose name I forget, like those horrific leg injuries, they're awful and like horrifying. But at least like, okay, they just like maybe like, it sounds so bad. I don't mean it this way, but just like, oh, I guess like that might end their career and like that's a horrific injury. But you know them as like human beings are like alive. That one shot of Tavares falling backwards on his knees is one of the most horrific sports things I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, it was tough and got to see it a whole bunch of times. And listen, they played rattled the rest of the first game. They lost 2-1 and they have rolled ever since. They've only allowed three goals in the whole series.
Four goals in the whole series. Yeah. They're much better than the Canadians.
They are. Even without Tavares, they are much better. It's nice. Listen, and obviously nothing is said and done until they've closed the deal. But like, it is nice that they just sort of seem to have realized that they are better and are not doing anything out of the ordinary, nothing special. Like, they just, they're playing solid defensively because, and you got to give credit to Big Dubes, they went out and got good defensive players. Like Zach Bogosian, TJ Brody.
Bogosian, who I was like, ugh, I guess. But he's just solid.
They just finally got a guy, and maybe this will be a curse thing to say, and you know, we'll use for fodder against me, but Brody and Bogosian both, they got a guy that like when there's a 50-50 play, they just like choose to do the defensive thing.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, 50-50 puck, I better get back. Versus like, I better try to chip this or something. Like, it's just so refreshing that to just have that, like, yeah, they just have defensemen who are first and foremost playing defense. It's super great. They've also had Sandin is like that guy that you've wanted forever to sort of when Riley is lacking to step right in. The old guys, did you ever think in your life you would love Jason Spezza this much?
No, truly, truly never. And I love Jason Spezza so much now. Last night I had the thought, maybe I should get a Jason Spezza Leafs jersey.
It's one of those funny things.
it's wild.
It's one of those funny things this will happen sometimes. You know, they'll get, and this, like the Galchenyuk, for example, it's like hilariously like Maple Leafs legend Galchenyuk. You do it to sort of rub it into other teams. But like legitimately now, Maple Leafs legend Jason Spezza. Like he's 100% a lifer Maple Leaf.
Especially if they go deep this year.
100%. I hope he gets a job with the team when he retires. Like, that's the kind of thing that people
are... absolutely true. I will say that our good friend who we've never met, Dave Hodge, tweeted this morning about how, for all the buildup of finally a Montreal-Toronto playoff series, how, like, it isn't that fun because the Leafs are just so much better than them.
I'm having a pretty good time.
And like, I'm having a great time. Like, last night was a lot of fun. But I do kind of agree with him in that, like, the lack of fans sucks a lot. I'm noticing it more here than I have been all year.
It would have been fun to blow out the Canadiens in Montreal. That would have been...
Exactly. More so that way than, like, oh, the Leaf fans didn't get to see a fun game.
Right.
And also just, like, the fact that if this was a full season, the Habs probably wouldn't even have made the playoffs. It does kind of feel like we're... Like, we were talking about the Blue Jays last year in, like, the play-in game. It kind of feels like we're the Rays in the play-in game here, and we're just like, okay, we have to beat this team till we can get to the real thing.
Listen up.
Which, if there was ever a team to just kick the shit out of in the playoffs, it should be the Montreal Canadiens.
Yeah, I mean, you could have said that last year about you know, Columbus, and they didn't do it. At least they're doing it, Jake.
True. That's a very good point. That's a very good point. Maybe it's just the fans thing, but something's just slightly... Or maybe it's because, like, we're all watching at home. There's something slightly off to me. I'm not sure what it is.
I do find it funny that people in hockey media are like, man, this series is all hype. And it's like, who do you think has been hyping it? You're the media. You're the ones who want this series to be so exciting. You're TSN and Sportsnet. Listen, I'm having fun. The Maple Leafs winning games is fun. I'm into it. Jack Campbell, who we love. We love Jack Campbell. He's a star.
We do love Jack Campbell.
This is one of those things where if this team, like you said, for Spezza, if this team makes a deep run, every single one of these guys is going to be like a get his name mentioned for a long time. It's how Toronto works. They're like you said, they're barely accomplishing anything right now. And the buzz is starting. If they go on to play the Jets and it's like a 7-game series and they win a dramatic overtime game and suddenly they're in the conference finals, man, you'll see it. These guys are, every one of these guys is going to go down as a legend.
You know what's going to happen, right?
I think so. I don't want to get into make the mistake that we've made many years ago.
No, but you know what's going to happen.
What's about to happen?
They're going to beat the Habs probably tomorrow. They're going to beat the Jets. And then they're going to have to get past the Boston Bruins somehow with divisions completely realigned to save them through two rounds. They will still have to get through Boston to make the finals.
Yes. And the hockey Twitter will be able to still say, you know, in a regular year, they wouldn't have beat anybody.
See, I don't mind that argument this year because the people who are annoying about that kind of thing are usually fans of Canadian teams.
Right.
And then it's like, well, then your teams shouldn't have been shitty.
It's the Homer, like, Simpson redesigning the power play.
Yeah. Right. Put some racing stripes there, Sharp.
Yeah, it's a contest for children, and Homer beat their brains in.
Exactly. That's exactly it. Like, the Habs would be like, oh, the refs are bad. It's like, well, then score a goal last night. Don't be shitty.
We'll see. I don't want to get too far ahead on the, like...
No, neither do I.
On the playing the Jets thing, but they have...
Waiting for the John Tavares Game 6 OT winner against the Jets.
They have the most dangerous recipe to me, which is they have the best goalie, so it's like...
Who will cost exactly $1.76 million next year.
A very good goalie like the Jets have is... It's always dangerous recipe against
the Jets. Yeah, that's true. I have been enjoying, though, the goaltending narrative in the Leafs series currently.
Oh, yeah.
And that the Habs pay $15 million for both their goalies.
Well, Jack Campbell's.
Jack Campbell costs one.
They don't just fall out of trees. Anyway.
Anyway.
Leafs in five, as I said all along.
Yeah. Gentlemen's sweep against the Habs is fun.
Absolutely.
I will admit.
So we'll check back in and see where the Maple Leafs are on the next step of the road. Hopefully. For the love of God. Hopefully they're not playing a Game 7. I don't even want to get into it. Well, no more cursing. I'll just say...
I don't think... I think that for once, we're safe from that.
We're just saying buds in five. And with that, we were going to open up mailbags, give you some suggestions, all that kind of stuff after this. it is time to get some recommendations, to learn some stuff, to watch some things, to hear some stuff. All the fun that you can have in the world is available at your fingertips with Spotify and streaming services and things like this. You're probably using one of them right now to listen to this show. And when you're done with the show, you can listen to music. And because Jake is so smart and knowing about music, you can listen to good music. You can listen to Jake's Song of the Week. Jake, what is this week's Song of the Week?
Song this week is To the Moon by Quentin Brock. I think I've used this song before because we lended us into a discussion about how it's not the RuPaul song To the Moon. But this is a cool song. The only reason I bring it up is because Shaky Knees Festival announced their lineup today. It's a cool festival in Atlanta. And Quentin Brock got on the bill and is playing on a Saturday at a festival despite only having this one song released so far. And it's a very good song, and you should check it out because it's super, maybe not, I don't know if it's his only song, but it's the only song he's really been hyping. But I think it's really cool that he's like getting on festival bills without an album out, because this song's really good and you should listen to it.
Are you starting to feel the buzz of concerts and events?
No. I don't think I can until, like...
You have a ticket?
Not even have a ticket. Like, I do have a ticket to a show in October, but I'm not convinced it's going to happen. Like, I need shows to start happening without any, like, bad things happening in Toronto before I can feel anything about shows, I think. It's all nebulous to me right now.
It's going to be very interesting.
It is. I'm very curious.
Because you got to assume, and I don't know, Jake, because I don't know anything about music industry, but you got to assume just about everybody's going to be touring in 2022.
Well, a bunch have already been announced. There's art come to Toronto because Canada's such a question mark. Yeah. And the States seem to have just decided that they're done.
Yeah, States are done. They did it. Listen, so. The States got the 50s. They did it. That was...
Yeah.
I don't think they ever thought...
It's open now. It's open now. Concerts are still not a thing that exists to me, and still until they do, because just the idea of sitting in a or standing in a venue with 200 people right now feels impossible. So,
So damn nice out though. It's so damn nice out.
It is damn nice out.
It's been beautiful and hot. I've been cutting off my pant legs, cutting off my shirt sleeves.
I'm surprised you're even wearing a shirt at all.
I took my shirt off in the middle of your answer about what the song of the week was. because we have to eliminate the noise, and unfortunately my streaming setup is just the middle of our apartment. So, you know, we have to have the door closed now. Usually we have the door open or we have the fan running, and right now we have neither. So this is the hottest hour and a half of our entire day.
Right.
We shall survive. The match of the week, I'm just going to talk a little bit about Wrestling Bring Double or Something weekend. We're doing Double or Nothing is the pay-per-view on Sunday. And Dynamite should be Wednesday night, but it's not. It's now Friday night, and Nick is subbing in. Nick's doing the Double Dudes Friday night at midnight. I'm not staying up to midnight to do a television recap. But then on Tuesday afternoon at 2 Eastern, I'm going to be doing a roundtable to preview Sunday's Double or Nothing show. So that should be pretty exciting. It'd be like a classy, straightforward, what if a podcast was being live streamed sort of thing. So trying it out, trying legit and making layouts for that and stuff. Should be a fun card. Triple threat at the top of the card. Orange Cassidy and Pac against Kenny Omega. It's sort of never before seen. How is it all going to go down? Should be good. Should be good times. So that's something we'll look forward to this weekend. Double or Something weekend on Wrestling Brain. Which you are hearing people say more and more.
You are. It's true.
Especially as it gets nicer up.
Had a whole discussion about Wrestling Brain with some friends the other day.
Not surprised.
No. Because you're hearing it. This is what they're saying. That's what we... The conclusion we came to was that you're hearing people say it.
I'm curious to see what happens. This is not Wrestling Brain specific. This is just industry-wise. I'm very curious to see what happens to streaming numbers in general this summer and fall.
Yeah.
Because, like, it was sort of a necessity. But the thing is, people still are still doing podcasts, and there was streaming beforehand. Interested to see what the winter brings. What a full year of like the weird thing we're doing with our lives. What that means for numbers. Anyway, we will see. Jake, are you watching anything in specific?
No, we're not. We are in that like begrudging Friends rewatch where we said we'd just watch the first couple seasons,
sure,
and then once it got not good, we'd turn it off. But then we were like, well, I guess we're just watching Friends now.
What's your interest in the reunion?
Lukewarm.
Come on, we're millennials.
My honest thoughts on the reunion is that I am interested to hear their thoughts on it and like hear them sit around and talk about the show. I'm less interested in all these random celebrities talking about and what Friends means to them. Like, I don't particularly care what James Corden thinks about Friends.
James Corden is more famous, I think. Like, talk about outkicking your coverage. James Corden's fame.
Well, no. See, here's the thing. James Corden wrote like two amazing shows in the UK. Before he was James Corden here, he was this like funny, interesting dude who wrote Gavin and Stacey, which was a great show. And he wrote another show, and I forget what it's called now. And then he just became like everywhere, and now it's annoying.
He became male Ellen DeGeneres.
Yes, that's exactly what he became. I blame Carpool Karaoke.
Yeah, for sure.
That started the whole thing.
Listen, that's the biz though, right? Is you accidentally hit a home run like that, you got to play the hits, and then you got to get the most famous people possible to do it, right? You get Mariah Carey, you get Justin Bieber. That's the cycle, and that's how those things work. You know that. You know the biz, you know the mechanics.
Yeah.
I should have been an actor, Jake. Damn it.
Well, somebody should.
What the hell was I was listening to something. Oh yeah, never mind. It's work related, but listening to people talk about the biz. I was talking about the Friends reunion, which we are obviously going to watch.
We're also obviously going to watch it, but
I'm always interested in, that's a lie. I just lied to myself. I was going to say I'm always interested in like actors sort of talking about the craft of acting and sort of those great experiences. But sometimes it's really shitty. Sometimes you're like,
I think when it's done well,
it's really good.
Like, yeah, like Inside the Actors Studio stuff is great. But like, I feel like the Friends are like,
of course,
they're too famous.
Yeah.
For them to tell us anything like honestly. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think like, that's a good way to put it.
I would love for them to come on this reunion thing and like their stories are about the inner workings and like the challenges, but you know it's just going to be like, oh, you're so funny in that scene and like what a great time this was. It's like, I'm not saying they're lying about that, but I just don't think it's going to be the kind of show where like we get some real interesting truths or anything.
I also sometimes I'd be interested in like, even though I don't care much about listening to the music or the albums, sometimes hearing artists talk about their process of creating albums is really interesting as well.
Yeah.
Creative people explaining their creativity, you know? We watched The Sinner.
Oh, I've heard that's good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's a time passer. It was pretty good. It's one of those ones where like you just sort of had to accept that like you're going to say three or four times out loud, well, that would never happen.
Right.
You just sort of like over the course of an 8-episode arc, there's going to be three or four things where you're like, well, okay. because the show has to have conflict and drama and the universe can only be so big, I will accept it. But yeah, it's a time passer. We're at the season one with Jessica Biel and now, I don't know, season two with somebody else. I don't even know. You get Bill Pullman, though.
I do love Bill Pullman.
Yeah, you get classic, gravelly Bill Pullman. You're going to have to turn the subtitles on to really hear what he's saying. Okay, we go to the mailbag. Woodley asks us, what's the starting five of fresh herbs?
It's a great question.
I would have...
basil, yeah. Number one.
Sure.
For sure.
Yeah.
I think you go basil... I'm trying to think what qualifies as an herb.
So, is cilantro kind of an herb?
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
We don't, Cassie's allergic to it, yeah. So we don't eat it much, but I love cilantro.
Polarizing. It's a polarizing.
Yeah, it's very polarizing. No one's fine with cilantro.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic.
I do too. What else we got? Sage is okay. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'd put it. Let's do a little fresh herb types into Google here and see what we got. Okay.
Did bay leaf count?
Okay. I'm glad you brought that up. My tin hat conspiracy theory is that bay leaves are bullshit.
It's nothing, right? It does
nothing.
I agree.
It does nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Bay leaf isn't anything.
Mint?
Mint?
Mint is a good one.
I fuck with mint.
Parsley. I love parsley. It's the most bland shit in the world, but I love parsley.
Dill,
of course.
Oh, dill weed. Dill, for sure.
Dill way up there.
Okay, so I'm going to say it's going to be cilantro and dill and basil. My wife doesn't like rosemary. I like chives.
I love chives.
And then, maybe marjoram?
We're looking at the same article, aren't we?
I think so. Okay. Epicurious?
Yeah. We're the same thing up.
Most of it says sage. Sage is in your... Oh, yeah, with brown butter sage. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that sage isn't mine.
I think, yeah, I would go basil, obviously. I'm going to go chives, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Some dill, mm-hmm. Definitely. It's three. I'll throw some rosemary on there.
Wilson does rosemary. Not like rosemary.
That's crazy. And then I'm gonna go with my boy parsley.
Yeah.
Because I love me some parsley.
Great picks. Dave, with a concerning question. Are the Habs cowards or frauds?
Neither. They're not good enough to be either.
Wow. Well.
I guess they're kind of cowards.
They're sort of fraudulent in that, like. I remember Chris Johnson called them a juggernaut at one point.
They're I guess they're frauds.
They shouldn't be in the playoffs. Sense that
they're in the, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't take them. I feel like cowards and frauds is reserved for like there will never be a better coward and or fraud than the 2019 Bucks and Sixers.
It's perfect.
Those are the perfect cowards or frauds teams. The Habs to me they're just bad. Like, they're just not very good at all.
We'll never have it as perfect as we did that for that run.
No. So, yeah, I guess they're definitely closer to frauds than they are to cowards, I think.
Midawesome, how many slices of pizza do you think Manoah could eat in one sitting? He could put down a full medium to himself.
Would you say he is 6'6", 230?
6'6", 260.
Jesus. Oh, yeah. He could take down a large easy by him. I can take down a large one. I'll feel terrible. But I can do it. He could definitely do it.
Yeah, I think no problem could he eat a large pizza. Speaking of pizza, large four topping, what are we getting on there? It comes from Shift.
My go-to would be your classic pep.
Yeah.
Some mushrooms.
Mm-hmm.
I fuck with banana peppers on a pizza.
Yeah.
And it sounds crazy. But, like, not caramelized, just, like, cooked in the oven with the pizza. Like, cooked red onion.
Sure.
On the pie.
That's not crazy. Great.
Or green pepper. Classic, easy.
Pepperoni, sausage, jalapeno, and caramelized onion.
I do like jalapeno on a pizza.
Fantastic.
It is very good.
Speaking of food, speaking of the toppings, favorite wing sauce?
I'm kind of basic. Like, I love creative wing sauces.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, just give me a standard hot.
Yeah. As much as I'm not a huge Jaffa Wings guy, that their medium is the perfect amount of spicy.
Yes, and like it's the perfect flavor. It's just like a. I guess classic buffalo is really what I'm saying.
Yeah. Matt Sullivan, who are the five biggest shit heels in baseball? Tony La Russa and Trevor Bauer seem like locks. Who else you got? I think Madison Bumgarner probably earns. Recognition on this list.
Put him there.
Rougned Odor, of course.
Rougned Odor, of course.
Easily. So that's already four. I don't know if shitheel is the right term, but I get like Joe Maddon. Really, I wouldn't mind never seeing Joe Maddon again.
Yeah, Kevin Pillar, I'd put up there.
Ooh, yeah.
He's a quiet. Until he was good this year, I'd also put Randall Grichuk there. Yeah, I'm with Pilar. I'll put Pilar as my five in the five spot there, which is way higher in the order than he should be.
Put Aaron Boone in there too.
Oh, Aaron Boone's a great one.
Fucking stupid ass Aaron Boone. Valois, a niche food question. On foods where you can warm it in the oven or microwave, do you ever choose oven? If I'm eating a pizza pocket, for example, and the suggestion is 1 minute microwave, 18 minute oven, is the quality that much better? Who does this?
It's a great question.
Mosa has defaulted, and this is the sign of who we are as people, and it's correct. If we, at this point, everything that it posed that line for us goes in the air fryer.
Right. Because you're those people.
Well, it's basically the same amount of time as putting it in the microwave, except it gets crispy.
Pizza, that's fair.
Pizza reheated in an air fryer is it's ridiculous. It's like the frying pan trick, only it's the entire pie. It's crazy.
We're gonna have to get one of those fucking things, aren't we?
It's one of those things where we didn't have it, and then it was the only thing we used to cook for the first month that we had it. We told you to use it all the time for right. meats and things of that nature.
All right, maybe we'll get one of those. But to the question in hand, I feel like it's always microwave.
It's always. I know one person in my life that I've ever seen oven make a pizza pocket, and it did look really good.
I've done like toaster oven.
Sure, that makes sense.
That to me, that's like the perfect balance.
Yeah.
But if I don't have one of those, which I currently do not, then it's microwave for sure.
Yeah, toaster oven reminds me of camping. Anyway, yeah, always. So if the difference is 17 minutes, it's always going to be microwave. But air fryer is sort of our default right now. But I can't imagine putting a pizza pocket in the oven. That just can't be.
Yeah, that's so much work.
How
I mean, like, much I know can you possibly work, you know
be improving
mean.
The quality?
Yeah, exactly.
And Melissa says, why would you warm up your whole house for a pizza pocket?
Also a great point.
She's very smart. That is it. That's the mailbag. I think we should close things out by answering the question that is often asked of us constantly. Oh, actually, we had a late question from Clay. With tonight's game being rained out, what's your favorite thing to do that doesn't involve TV on a rainy day?
That doesn't involve TV?
Mm-hmm.
God. I don't know how to do anything that doesn't involve TV.
Early in our relationship, Melissa and I would play cards. We used to play Gin Rummy.
Mm.
What do we play? Did we play cribbage ever? I don't think so. We played Wheel of Fortune game. We've played board games here and there when we're trying to phase out sitting and looking at the TV. But some cards are board games, or you know what? Lately, a puzzle as well, old school. We did some puzzling over the Christmas break, and then puzzled some more in the months following.
I hate puzzles.
Mm.
I guess listen to music and drink.
Sure, you got to drink.
I don't know, like our rainy day stuff is like watching movies.
Makes sense. It poured here in the middle of this episode and then stopped raining entirely.
I feel like it's been waiting to rain all day here.
That is your answer to that. So we will answer one more question. That's whether we are sad or not sad on the other side. And we close things out with the ceremonial saying of the sad or the not sad. I'm going to go first because I listen, we talked. Things feel very much the same. It's not a no big revelations this week. No big changes. We did buy plants, I mentioned before, on our anniversary. We went to a nursery and bought some plants. And we are up to, I think, 6 plants in the living room now or in the house. And Melissa's doing a great job, and the plants are sprouting little baby sprouts. It's one of those things where, like, I think before you own a lot of plants, you just think that they're just always there. But seeing the slow progress and seeing my wife get really invested in it, and she's always rearranging them for sunlight and, like, checking the temperatures and checking the moistness and watering and scheduling, it's very adorable, and it makes me smile. And there is a nice comfort to having plants around while you're, like, working and stuff.
Yeah, I guess I'll go with a similar one, just because like I also kind of like same shit. Cassie's sort of redone our balcony also with plants.
Mm.
and our apartment also with plants. I redid our, we have like a little den thing. I redid that a few weeks ago, which turned into like a different room. It's just, you know, spring, spring adjusting, let's call it. Not really spring cleaning, but spring adjusting. It's nice. It's nice to liven up a place you've lived for a while.
Wish we had a place when we lived near Fort York. We had a place that had a den and we didn't utilize it properly.
Mm-hmm. We haven't utilized it properly in the 4 years we've lived where we live.
We bought a big ass, like harvest size kitchen table and put it in there, and then never had a single person over for dinner, and then sold the table when we moved because it would not fit in any other apartment we could possibly have. And that was our use of our extra room in our apartment for a year. And now we're in a one bedroom with like a storage area. Like there's a laundry spot, and then sort of the wall curls around it, so it's like a pantry / storage area. But it's not a den, so there's no second room. And as it gets nicer, and as I just sort of wish that I had thought of, you know, the streaming / workspace. I feel like I'm very much in the middle of the room. Poor Melissa has to watch television on mute or leave the watch TV in the bedroom or something. Can have the door open. It's very hot in here now because I sort of I'm taking up the middle of the room. So wish I had thought ahead like you and had a den that I could we could turn into like a ersatz office space, because I feel in the way all the time. Clumsy old me, cutting my clothes off and leaving the arms and legs all over. Anyway, that is it for another week. We are in the thick of it. Really exciting. I can't wait to come back next week and see. We'll have the Manoah debut. Maybe he's made two starts by then.
Maybe he's changed the whole direction of the season.
It could go 6-1 again. That's the beauty of baseball, right? Is back-to-back weeks we had, they look like a contender, and then like, well, they have huge problems with their pitching. Now they're now they're 500 again. A minute ago, they were on pace to win 90 plus games. It's like, it's really fun. This is what it's all about. I love baseball. I don't know what I was doing. How do I do it every year, Jake? How do I go from November to April every year? What am I doing with my time? And what am I thinking?
You pretend to care about other things.
Barely.
The thing is, though, now if they're good, you don't have to pretend to care, because now you can just wait for refresh every day for transactions.
That was most of the summer. It was like waiting for them to, like they said they would get us George Springer, and then they did. I was told on paper he is a member of the Blue Jays. One day soon, before the summer is out, he'll have played again, I hope. Anyway, we will see. But anyway, next week we have more Maple Leafs playoffs, hopefully. We have two Manoah starts, possibly, all kinds of stuff. Very excited. We'll talk about everything next week on an all-new episode of Sportsville.